Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you in this wonderful holiday season after Thanksgiving, before Christmas. And I'm here with some family. Now, Kent and I had four children. Our third child was Brenda. And today with me, Brenda has three children and they are here. We'll start with the elder.
Jared Houle.
And you are?
Jared Houle.
And how old are you?
I'm 28.
28 years
28
young.
28 and the eldest of me. There's me, Brandon, and Hannah, but I'll let them talk.
Okay, so. Brandon?
And I'm Brandon Brim.
How old are you?
And I'm 24 years old.
And you have next to you?
I have my wonderful wife, and I'll have her introduce herself.
Hello, I'm Destiny Raina Brim, and I'm 22 years old.
Very beautiful. And then my assistant,
Hannah Brim. I'm 22 years old.
And then me, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am. Just had a birthday, though. Wait. Is it this week?
Almost your birthday.
Next week. It's okay. That's when we're airing this program. So, 6th of December, happy birthday to me. Now, we're going to be talking about Christmas. And I've asked each of them to think up some Christmas memories that they have. I remember so many things, but I'm going to let them tell it. Who wants to start first?
Well, go ahead, bro.
Well, Christmas memories.
Who are you, by the way?
My name is Brandon Brim. And I would say my most memorable Christmas moment we've had would be our every year, all the grandkids, we used to put on the play of Jesus for the whole
family. His whole life.
And this was not a free play. You would actually have to pay to watch the play.
At least $5.
So everyone would, we'd collect money. We'd have a little place there. They would get the money from our family. And we'd always give it to someone, or we would have a reason why we're collecting money. And I remember one year was to buy our great-grandparents a satellite TV. So that would probably be my most memorable Christmas moment with our family.
Having those plays. Year after year, we had those plays. Who was the boss of those plays?
My cousin, Quatesy Brim.
Yeah.
And she was my age, but she was the boss. She was the little leader.
Yeah, she's the leader. She's the littlest one of all. She's still the littlest one of all. But I mean to tell you, she was packed a lot of power. Now, she works at the Uptown. Is that the name of the beauty salon where she is?
Uptown.
And so you might drop in there and have her do your hair and say, we heard you direct plays.
In Owosso. She was,
yeah, in Owosso, in Owosso. And anyway, she directed the play every year. It was the entire life of Christ. The house that I had a great big downstairs, and the downstairs was all one room. And coming into the downstairs was a stairway. So Quatesy assigned the roles, and you had to play the different parts. The most coveted part, of course, for the girls was what, Hannah?
Mary.
Did you ever get to be Mary?
I didn't want to be Mary.
Oh, you were always...
I was the lead angel. Mark, I was Michael.
Oh, you were the Gabriel.
Gabriel, yes.
Yeah, you were the announcing angel. But I remember one year, of course, when they... you were all the mean parts that year.
Yes, and I wanted to add this in. Every year we would actually have to try out. It wasn't a... You actually had to try out for your role. So if I was Jesus one year, I couldn't be... Every year you had to try out. Like, she would put a big old tryout for like at least 2 days. And then at the very end, she would announce who's who.
And downstairs, we had a great big cedar closet filled with clothes. And they would use robes, and they would go in there, and they'd get all dressed up. It was a big production. And one year, I remember you were the one who said, no room in the inn.
Yes.
And you were the Roman soldier when it came to the crucifixion. And Cody, a lady had owned that house, and she was a quilter. And so she had an elaborate system of cabinets along one wall, and they all had handles. So Cody, when it came to the crucifixion, he was hanging up there by holding on to the handles. And Cody, and you...
I was a Roman soldier.
And so what'd you do?
I was whipping him and talking to him and yelling at him and...
Kicking him, punching him.
And then what happened?
My cousin Pesha started like hit me from behind.
And she had the role of
Mary.
Yeah.
And she was saying, "Dog, my son."
This was like really emotional too in front of everybody.
Really emotional and Patient just attacked the Roman soldier for. I don't think Mary did that in the Bible.
Patient never got to play Mary after that.
After that, she
Quincy never, really got on to her for that.
Oh, because she messed up the play. Yeah, yeah, right. So anyway, that was the fun part. Now, another Christmas that you remember is the Christmas. You remember when Beanie Babies were so hot? And so I put this great big huge tree. We had plenty of room for a huge tree down there. And I covered that tree with Beanie Babies. And then what happened?
I was sitting in front of it, and I saw it tilting. And the next thing you know, it was on top of me. But the thing is, we decorated that thing for like a whole day. It took a while. We put them all in these
little... And it was not stable.
And we put them in these little spots, and everyone decorated. So we really spent some time on it, and that thing fell right on me.
And then what happened?
My grandma, Mimi, she... to you guys, Billy Brim, she yelled at me kind of a little bit about it, saying, how dared you? She thought I knocked it down.
Well, I think you did still to this day.
No, and then my Uncle Terry looked at the base of it and saw that the way it broke the base. Uh-huh. So he said, Mom, this base is broken. He didn't knock it over.
So there's some of our Christmas fun. And how about you, Destiny? Did you celebrate Christmas?
Yes, I have a really, really big family on my mom's side and my dad's side. So Christmas Eve, we would go to my dad's side, and Christmas Day, we would go to my mom's. So we were always at parties.
And they all live in the same area.
Yes, we all live in the same area.
Lots of children.
Yes.
And lots of sound. Mm-hmm. Happy sounds.
Yeah.
And so what did you have for your traditional dinner?
We did tamales. Nice. It's a Mexican... Well, we cook them a Mexican way, but they're really good.
Oh, yummy, yummy. Invite me.
Yes, and actually Brandon hasn't tried them, so this will be his first year. Oh, hopefully he likes them.
I will.
Yeah, he likes everything they fix. He's telling me always about that. So Christmas time is family time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we know about that family that God put Jesus into. I think about that little girl. Every woman, every young girl wanted to be the mother of the Messiah. They knew that the Messiah was coming. And they were looking for a king Messiah, because that's what was in the prayers of Hannah. When Hannah birthed him and she was praying for Samuel, she was praying for a child. She prayed for a king Messiah. She birthed him as well as her own. Well, Israel, you know, they were under the... You talk about Roman soldiers and the mean things they did. And so Israel was looking for deliverance from that. And there came this young woman, Mary. Sometimes I think that that people who are denominational, maybe non-Catholic, I don't think they give her the honor that she's due. I think because they feel that some other people worship her, whether they do or whether they don't, I don't know. But I do think that she is one of the most honorable people, because of thinking about my own son today. He had some physical issues with his back and had to go to the hospital, and just a terrible pain. And you think about her and her pain, that she looked up on that cross and saw him. And she had to endure, and is to be greatly honored. I'm sure she has a great honor. And sometimes I think about it, you know, when they lived in Nazareth. And Nazareth is up in the mountains in the Galilee. And I don't know how far it is, 70 miles, something like that. And but she didn't make it, maybe even longer. I'm not really sure how far it is. But she didn't, one time I was thinking, you know, God knew about airplanes, but he didn't zap an airplane to take her from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. He could have translated her, but he didn't. And when she was expecting that baby, she had to ride a donkey all the way down to Bethlehem. And then, of course, right now, Bethlehem is not a little town of Bethlehem. How still we see thee lie. But now Bethlehem is one of the most hottest spots on earth, and it has been given over to people other than the Jewish people that inherited it. And we used to go to Bethlehem We used to buy from the Christians who lived there, Christian Arabs. They had really wonderful shops where you could buy olive wood things that they had made. And then when it was given over to Yasser Arafat, all of them, most of them had to flee for their lives, really. And so there's not a large population of Christians in Bethlehem right now. But I think on our next trip, we're going to try to go there because there is a pastor who lives in East Jerusalem. What's his name? I forgot.
Pastor Stephen Curry.
Pastor Stephen Curry. And he's a wonderful Christian pastor. And so he's promised to take us the next time. He's in East Jerusalem, but he's promised to take us into Bethlehem, and we will be going there. I've been there. I went before they had the intifadas, before there was all the troubles of the last few years. Back in 1983, I went even out to the shepherd's field because Jesus was not in a wooden barn. He wasn't born in a barn. He was born probably in a cave. And the place is filled with caves. And you know, there in Bethlehem, they have erected a church over a cave. And when you go into that church in Bethlehem, there's a star in the floor. And that opening under that star is a cave. And you can kind of look down through that. They have a hole there into the cave. But probably he was born in that cave. But it would not have been, I mean, it would have been a dry place. And people lived in caves, you know. There are big caves down there. So he was born there, and right in Jerusalem. You guys have been to Jerusalem many times. And you know that right out of Jerusalem, when you cross over, you go into the Judean desert. And out in that place is where the shepherds were. And that was the shepherd's field. And there's where we read about what happened with the shepherds. And there were in the same country, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, and the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, we're going to pick this up tomorrow, right here, and we're going to talk about the angels and the first advent, or the first coming of the Lord, and we're going to look at why do we celebrate December 25th this Christmas. Did we borrow it from the pagans? Is it a pagan holiday, and that's the only reason why we have it? So tomorrow we're going to begin to talk about why do we have December 25th? Why do we celebrate our Lord's birth? Was he born in December? If not, when was he born? What can we learn from the scriptures? And what can we learn from history, even church history? So you'll want to be with us this week as we look into that. This is Billy Brim and family saying, shalom, shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow, when we'll be right back here. Billy Brim at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks.